All right. We should probably do this sooner because Arya is turning into a pumpkin.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our George and Gracie. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is
Time Pop. Time Pop.
That was a delay on that one. It was a short delay.
Who's George? A time delay. Who's George and Gracie, Ari?
They're the whales.
Why are they named George and Gracie?
I don't know. That's probably some characters from like the 50s or something.
Oh, there you go.
Bingo.
Was it the 50s?
It was.
Did they say that in the movie?
No, I looked it up.
George Burns and George and Gracie.
I don't know. I'm not from the 50s.
Neither am I. They're comedy greats.
Know your comedy history, Ari. It's important.
The old classic joke, we go, say goodnight, Gracie. And she says, goodnight, Gracie.
Adorable.
Said a goodnight.
Before the 50s, no one heard that joke before. And then...
That was the early...
That was the big deal in the 50s?
It was probably before that.
I thought you were going to say your double dumbass on you as a constant.
Oh, did you get the moment?
I did. I knew... You know what? I kind of went against typecast because I knew that one was going to be too easy.
Yeah. I told you to wait for that moment, right?
I don't know if you did.
Remember I said, hey, when you see the movie, look out for the double dumbass on you.
Right.
And you guys are like, what the hell?
So I watched this movie 2 nights ago. And I may as well have watched it 2 months ago. This movie washed over me like a lukewarm bath.
Should we tell people what movie we're discussing at some point in this podcast?
I don't know. Today, in the present, we will be discussing Star Trek 4. Not the new 4 that I kept searching Star Trek 4 and they kept talking about the new one that's coming out. The original Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home.
Hello? If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
There you go. We've been doing so many complex mind blanking time travel films. Why not do an easygoing one about a bunch of Star Trekians having to go back to 86 to save the whales?
It was super cool. I enjoyed this movie a little bit more just because we just watched Time After Time. We watched...
Do you want to know? Do you know the fun fact?
Oh, do tell.
They sought help from, was it Nicholas Meyer, to write it. He helped with Wrath of Khan. He was, I think, writer on Wrath of Khan. He was director. He was a writer, at least. And they needed him. This script changed a bunch of times. There was originally, like, Leonard Nimoy came back. He wanted to do something lighthearted. And then they were going to do Rainforest. They did Whales. He had to rewrite it. And he is actually also the writer for Time After Time.
Shut your mouth.
So these movies are connected in that they are both going to San Francisco in the 70s or 80s.
Wow.
And experiencing cultural differences. So look at that. Fun fact. You're welcome. Do the research.
That's awesome. Yeah. Time After Time went forward 100 years and Star Trek went backward 300 years.
Yeah. They met in the middle.
So fucking cool. This screamed of, okay, that was 1987. Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. Like, just that, like, we're going to save the world. We're going to tell the world about the dangerous track we're on so we can reverse course before it's too late. And yeah. Did they do it, Scott?
Did they do what?
Did they save us from our future?
No.
Yes.
No.
What do you mean? They brought the whales back.
Yeah, they brought the whales back.
Oh, did they save us from the whales being extinct?
Yeah, the whales still go extinct.
Yeah. I mean, we're still awful creatures, us humans. Another fun fact, in the original version of the script, that the woman love interest was going to stay behind and ensure that whales don't go extinct, which is ethically, if the future even got to that same place, you know, whatever. And then they changed it because it was just too...
It was too
utopian and it was a paradox.
But by taking George and Gracie,
yeah,
you already fucked it up.
Although if they get extinct anyway, I bet they could argue.
Or is this how it always happened?
This was a cute time travel film. It's like a comedy version of a Star Trek film. It's just watching these guys in the future have to do modern day San Francisco with, you know, paying tolls and fees and dealing with punks on trains. However, they did not try to make their garb look anything like the present day. Luckily, if you're in like 80s San Francisco, a lot of people are like either hippie or like crazy. And like you walk around in a robe and people don't think that much of it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's actually, I remember when I first moved here, I literally was walking onto the bus and there was a wizard. There was a guy with a wizard cloak and a long beard and a staff. And I was like, okay.
San Francisco. And he was
getting on the bar. There's people singing in the street opera. And you're just like, yeah, San Francisco. So that worked out for them.
I got someone barked in my face one of the first times I went to Seattle. When I was like,
fucking Seattle.
I was like fucking 9 years old.
Yeah. But yeah, cute film, right? The time travel is minimally scientific, which is funny because it's a Star Wars Trek film, which is usually pretty science deep.
Don't dare say the W word, Scott.
What's the W word?
You almost did. He almost said Star Wars.
No.
Yeah.
There's no. Distinct differences, my friend.
No, you would never.
It's funny. This is the one film that we can say the synopsis pretty easily in one sentence. In fact, we already did.
Do it, Scott. Sum it up.
In order to save Earth from an unknown alien invader in the future, our Star Trek crew has to go back in time to get whales to go back to the future, as they are the only ones to respond to this creature who is talking to Earth in whale talk, and the whales are extinct.
In the future.
In the future. So they have to go back to 1986, San Francisco, get some whales, and bring them back to the future to save Earth.
So this movie starts out with an unknown probe just slowly trolling its way to Earth and shutting off all electricity along the way. Like, it's not actually killing anybody or doing any harm, but it is just shutting every ship down, assuming they...
Yeah, there's some weather effects too, right? I think it was doing some things to the weather and the climate also. Yeah, yeah.
Why? Is that because it was sending its signal into the ocean?
Into the ocean, yeah. It was sending into the ocean.
And so it was causing some adverse effects.
From the previous Star Trek film, our crew is kind of like exiled because they didn't listen to their powers that be. And so they are away on another planet in hiding.
They are relegated to a Klingon ship.
Well, the Enterprise got destroyed in Star Trek 3. And then they killed some Klingons, so they took their ship.
Do all four movies go together as well as these two did? I was surprised how much this one picked right up.
Yeah. Well, one is actually pretty pointless and slow and boring. But then Wrath of Khan goes into Search for Spock, which goes into Voyage Home.
Oh, wait. So there's Star Trek, and then what's two? Two is the Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. One is Star Trek, the motion picture. Two is Wrath of Khan. Three is the Search for Spock.
That's right.
Because he dies in the end of Wrath of Khan, but then they send him to planet Genesis where he kind of gets reborn because that's what the planet's about. But then it becomes unstable and it blows up. And then there's Voyage Home. And then I forget the order. One of the next two, one is the Undiscovered Country and one's the Final Frontier. Those aren't as connected as these guys.
And then Ari and I have already discussed Generations on this podcast. Is that the one?
You did First Contact, right? No, I'm sorry. What's the time travel one? It's
Generations, isn't it? Because they meet up.
No.
The old crew or the new cast?
No, you did
it's,
the other one.
It's right? Both, isn't it?
That's not the time travel.
Oh, one. Next Generation. Yeah, didn't we do First Contact?
First Contact, that's it.
Oh, it is First Contact. So not, yeah, after Generations.
I mean, Generations, you could say they're in like a vortex where people from different times can meet. So you could rationalize that.
So I thought the trick was going to be that, and I saw this way back in the 80s, but I haven't really rewatched many Star Trek films. I thought for sure the catch was going to be that the Klingon ship's technology was so old that the probe couldn't shut it down.
Huh.
That's why I thought that was going to be part of it.
Nice one. No, but it's advanced. That they can cloak those. You can't do that with the Enterprise. That's some advanced stuff.
That's true. So the Star Trek crew, they figured out pretty quick. They don't do a, you know, Spock is in, he's basically been reborn. So he is like super Vulcan again, like when the movie starts out, his human emotions are not getting in the way. And so he does some very fast calculus to just be like, well, why don't you run the probe's beam through a salinity filter and see what happens.
That's right. They can't understand the sound of the future, so they run it through a salinity filter. And then what it would sound like underwater. And then they realized it sounds like whales.
Yeah, Spock figured it out.
Yes,
Spock figures everything out.
Because he's smart.
I love how nonchalantly they realize it's a whale call. Whales are extinct in this time. And it's just, it's so nonchalant in this world. Like, yeah, you think what I'm thinking? Yeah, we should go travel back in time and take whales. Like, it just, that seems like such a, like, it should take days of like, we don't have to do and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. This is crazy. And it's just so matter of fact.
And they know, but they do know that there are no whales in the known universe.
I know, but if you see Star Trek episodes, they really like think and problem solve. And there's always some solution to an impossible situation. You just, you would have thought they would have tried to understand or mimic or learn the language or I don't know. Some culture that can imitate something else.
Yeah.
Anyway, they came to that decision really quickly.
Try to, like, they have whale songs recorded. Like, play some of those back to the probe and see what happens.
No, they thought about that. But logically, Spock was like, yeah, we're speaking the language, but we're not going to be able to have a conversation. It's just going to be gibberish.
Right. Someone could be saying, how's your day? The other person is like, green 42.
Yeah. I don't, you think they would have tried it though, like maybe.
Exactly, just try, as opposed to traveling in time and maybe damaging the space-time continuum. Yeah. If they would go into any kind of like Spencer's or Hallmark place, they've got whale song CDs there, right? Where else do they sell those? Accessories. Where do you get your whale song CDs?
I like Spencer's Gifts. That's where I
go. Spencer's Gifts,
that's
yeah.
That's where I go for everything.
Black lights, posters.
Dildos.
Are you guys aging yourself right now? I don't know any of these places.
You don't know about Spencer's?
No.
If you were any age teen, young or older, in the 80s and 90s, and you went to your mall, there's a Spencer's gift store, which is the weirdest novelty store. You can get cards. You can get t-shirts. You can get posters of like Pamela Anderson. You can get black lights. You can get lava lamps. You can get a box that looks like a fake piece of poo.
You can get some Vans.
You can get some Vans. You can get probably like posters that are like maybe it could go anything inspirational to like racing cars.
You were either a bored teenager or a sexually adventurous 30-year-old because there was also that. Where else were you going to go for your whips and chains in the 80s?
It's a random store now that I think about it. It's a weird store.
Yeah, it's gag gift too. Like, yeah, when someone turns 40, that's where you go for your ball and chain.
Yeah, I told Ari the story recently, but I was like maybe 10-year-old and there's a box in Spencer's that says, I couldn't afford to make you something for your birthday. I couldn't afford to buy you anything. So I made this. You open up the box and it's a fake piece of poop. And I thought it was the funniest thing. I thought it was genius. I think I tried to get my mom to buy it.
So very quickly, like, well, we're going to travel through time. So
I'll be right back.
Good, because I just want to talk to Ari for a minute. In Star Trek, do they always travel through time the same way? Like, do they just know that slingshotting around the sun will launch you into the future or past? Because it happens a lot, but it's not always the same, is it?
They must have done it some other time, because they definitely knew that that was a thing and that it would potentially work. I don't know. I don't know the movies as well as the TV show. And in Next Gen... And in the original, they didn't do that, I don't think. My memory's not great, though.
They did. They time traveled at least once in all iterations, I'm pretty sure, haven't they?
Yeah. I think in Next Gen, it was like Q did it or there was a wormhole or something.
But it wasn't a slingshot around the sun, as far as you know.
Yeah. The way that they brought it up, it was very much like, oh, yeah, we'll just take a trip, you know, and back in time. It was just very casual.
Yeah. Yeah, it happened really fast. That's one of the reasons. Like, I actually re-rented this movie because I was watching this with Kelly and I swear I zoned out for about 3 seconds and then they were just in the past. I kept waiting for them to go in to the long version of how they were going to travel through time.
Have you guys, you've been talking about the time travel device?
Well, what I was curious about, I don't know how well you know Star Trek. The first question I asked was, do they always travel through time like this? Because there's a couple time travel situations in Star Trek. Are they always a little bit different? Do they always know that slingshotting around the sun? Because like Ari said, like they obviously knew they'd done this before. Like Kirk and Spock talk about it. Like, well, I know.
It's different. It's not like they're always. I think they might have used that method in the show, maybe. I'm not as well versed in the show, but I think they. But otherwise, they're usually different methods. This is a.
Do they explain it really in this one, or do they just say like we'll go?
They're going to go around the sun, and they go at a high enough speed. They're going to slingshot. They're going to use the gravity of the sun to slingshot around it. They talk about it pretty loosely. I think Ari and I talked about it that they're trying to go faster than the speed of light.
They go to try to go to warp almost warp 10.
Yeah.
And then use the gravity of the sun to accelerate him faster than the speed of light, which makes him go back in time.
Okay.
It's not deeply explained.
It's fairly precise. Like, they said they weren't going to be able to nail it on the pinhead, but they felt fairly confident. They were,
Spock had to figure it out. But yeah, it's like, but if you don't do it right, you're going to burn your ship up because you're very close to the sun, which apparently is a very hot item.
So weird, too, is that I kept waiting for them to like literally slingshot around the sun, but they just kind of sideswipe it a little bit and just soak up a little gravity as they go. Like, I don't know. It was so... It just seems so like it would have been such an easy shot to just whip yourself towards the sun, go around it, and then come back towards Earth. But
and if it's that easy, I mean, anybody would just, the Klingons would be like, let's go back. And you know that war that we lost? Let's just go change that a little bit.
Let's go. And how do you go forward or backwards? Like, how do you know which way to approach the sun?
Yeah, they didn't talk that much about how them going back, did they? That just happens.
Yeah. They were a little bit worried about their calculations getting back home, but there was no question that they weren't going to slingshot into the future.
I saw an article that put this. They said, like, it was like, according to scientists, the top most flawed explanation, scientific explanation of time travel in films. And they used this one. And Superman one, where he moves the Earth's rotation in reverse to go back in time. They put these two as the top two of the top two worst explanations. Trying to be scientific about time travel.
Yeah, this one, it's pretty bad. It's just like, oh, slingshot, and then it'll just work because of math.
Just by going the speed of light by itself doesn't mean time travel.
No, it means time stops. If you can go faster than the speed of light, right, all photons stopping, you would see nothing, it'd be black.
But then how are you going back in time?
You're not.
And how do they figure it specifically to go back to this date in this year?
Math. So says Spock.
Yeah.
So they go back to San Francisco, and they just kind of, it's almost like a Marty McFly in the 50s. Like, they're just like, let's go get some.
Yeah, it's poorly planned. They're just flying around like you think they would be detected. They land it in Golden Gate Park. They cloak it. But I mean, it's right in the middle of the park.
Yeah, there's a huge divot. Like, people would be slamming into that thing all the time. It's not.
I just feel like they would have approached this more intelligently. Yeah, they didn't change their attire. They knew they didn't have money. And luckily, Kirk had like some old glasses that he was able to pawn for $100 and split the money up amongst all them.
Yeah. And when he sold those glasses, what, like he said, like, don't worry, we'll get him back.
Like, he means, I think, when he got it originally in the future, but he's still going to live on without those glasses. That was a dumb statement.
They're trying to make it like where he got it in the future was because he sold them in the past.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember thinking that when it happened. Yeah. Whoever got them for him picked them up from that shop.
I love, yeah, and they're as the team is saying, everybody's cursing them off. And he's like, this is how they speak in this time. It's very primitive. And Spock attempts to use foul language poorly.
Spock covers up his ears with a sweet bandana with his robe tie.
It's such an impossible mission. They're walking around here without knowing the time or money. And not only do they have to steal, they have to steal two whales. And they also have to get some nuclear warheads.
The energy
from them.
Oh, yeah, because they're the Klingon dilithium,
yeah,
casing isn't as sturdy as the Enterprise. So their crystals uncrystallize or something like that.
So, yeah. So they they go to see the whales in what it looks like Monterey Aquarium, but they call it the Cetacean Institute.
In Alameda. No, that's not in Alameda. That was in
Sausalito.
Yeah. Sausalito.
But everything's going well on the tour. But then they notice that Spock is in the tank doing a mind meld with a whale. That seemed like a bad, unnecessary choice.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to talk to some ancient alien creature if you could? If you knew that they were.
But they're Star Trek. They're so conscious about like not affecting people's like levels of technology or not interrupting their flow of a culture.
Yeah, but they know about this animal. There's records from Earth's history.
But there's customs.
This animal and how
he dove into a tank.
Yeah, but Spock needed to talk to them because they're going to be taking them with. He basically asked them if it was okay, and they said yes.
He got consent,
but he could have done that without alerting the entire community that he's swimming and talking to them.
Well, logically, that was the only time he could do it.
No, that's not logical.
when they steal them.
They were there. When are they going to come back at night? No.
Yeah.
It's all about logic with Spock. They're on a time limit. Earth in the future is being destroyed. He needed to talk to them now.
Can you teleport a whale? They have the technology for teleportation is okay for so much mass. They had to teleport the whale and the water.
They did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that ship really fucking bothered me. It's
because it looks like it's like an X-wing fighter, but apparently it can fit giant tank of whales in it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ratios for all that stuff was completely wrong. Like blue whales are huge.
Yeah. Two and of tanks of water.
With huge the water. Animals. And the ratio was all off.
Yeah. A whale already is bigger than the ship.
Yeah.
One is. Whale. There's two in a tank of water. They just keep in the basement somehow of this tiny.
Yeah. So first they, yeah. Spock swims with the whale. They basically tell the woman, I'm talking to
She this. Freaks out.
I'm talking to him. And then at the same time, is it Sulu that's going to Alameda to find the...
Chekov? Yeah.
Chekov, yeah.
Chekov and Uhura, yeah. You're right. Send a Russian in the 80s to go get that nuclear...
Nuclear vessel,
yeah.
Because, yeah, they're always... When they're in the future... Like anytime a question comes up about the past, like, well, actually, in the late 21st century, people read newspapers and paid with things with quarters and blah, blah, blah. And now they're there and they're just like, what's going on? It's like,
yeah,
you guys always have the right answer about the past, but now you're just totally lost and have no like in Star Trek. Do they eventually get 3D printers? Is that a thing in Star Trek?
3D printers. It's kind of, but it's not like a printer. They have like a materializer. I forget what they're called.
Yeah.
But have they always had them?
I mean, it's in the future.
Yeah. They make their food and they make their clothes and they make their whatever they need through the...
Oh, but they probably don't have one on the Klingon ship.
Probably not. Yeah. It's they treat the ethics of time travel pretty loosely. Like there's no concern about interacting with people. What they might change. They just, we gotta get the whales and they're just, and those are not concerned about telling people they're from the future, apparently. Or the effects of stealing the whale. I mean, it's to save their future, but like in a butterfly effect way, who knows what effect that could have on the current in terms of even getting to the future.
Yeah. And they like already said about the glasses, like they kind of allude to it a couple times that this is all loop theory. Like, cause when they're,
well, if you think about when they didn't change when the whales got released, right? The douchey guy at the place released the whales early, right?
Yeah.
And they were following the whales in the ocean and there was a whaler ship. So those whales were going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Right, they wanted to get them before that happened.
Right. So the fact that they just scooped up these whales that were for sure about to die doesn't change anything.
Good point, Ari.
But they didn't know that until it got late. They were hoping to get the whales before.
But whether they knew it or not, it still
right
negates a lot of the future.
The butterfly.
Because right. My thing is always just from being there.
Yeah.
Your gravity is going to have an effect on events.
On stuff.
And Vulcan neck pinching people and double dumbassing on you to them.
Let's talk about the punk on the butt.
Oh, I say, screw you.
Who is the punk on the bus?
Oh, you know who it is?
The actor?
Yes.
I don't know who it is. Do you?
I don't know why I did a deep dive on him, but it led all the way to his name is Kirk R. Thatcher. Everybody out there, I still live a half a block away, but I lived behind. I used to be able to hop the fence into Tippett Studio. What is Tippett Studio? Tippett Studios was started by Phil Tippett. Phil Tippett did all of the stop motion animation for the first three Star Wars movies. Not 1, 2, 3, episode 4, 5, 6, the good ones. And Jurassic Park and a bunch of other things. Look up Tippett Studios. They're awesome. Kirk R. Thatcher was one of Phil Tippett's main right-hand men.
Oh.
Back in the day. He got hired right out of high school onto Return of the Jedi. And I found an interview with him and Phil talking about the good old days.
Wow. And what a random role.
He's worked on a ton of Muppet stuff. a lot of other stop motion stuff. But yeah, he's a
he got to be the punk on the bus.
Mm-hmm. Before they were they.
Yeah. So yeah, it's ethically questionable. And the other ethically questionable thing is that the woman comes back with them at the end.
Well, before the other ethically questionable thing is they give them the mixture, the for aluminum.
Clear aluminum.
And yeah, they're just like, here. And they even talk about it. They're like, well, how do we know we didn't always give it to him like this? Or how do we know he doesn't invent it?
That's such a rationalization of like really affecting the future.
Yeah.
Just so they can get it, you know, to the future, but damaging what the world may become. Someone might become this tycoon that's so far advanced and like that could change the shift of power. It's irresponsible.
And you would know who invented that in the future.
Yeah.
Like the material that makes your entire existence possible.
Yeah, they had no money. How else would they have gotten it? So they...
Yeah.
Don't they also leave behind their like tricorder and laser gun?
Oh!
When Chekhov gets arrested?
Oh, yeah.
Don't they leave behind all their equipment?
At least a phaser, or at least a...
And even if they didn't take the woman back with them at the end, she would have known about them being in the future. It would have changed her life course incredibly. But then she just kind of stows away at the end. And they're just, it's cutesy. And it's like, okay, just bring in the future. She has no family or friends that will care at all, or that she just disappears because she's got to be with the whales in the future.
Did she? So at the end, so we're going all over the place, but it doesn't matter, everybody.
I mean, you could catch them up quickly. They get the whales, they get the nuclear energy through some trials and tribulations.
It all works out.
Do they talk to the, do they drop the whales in the ocean and then the whales communicate with the probe, or do they, the whales communicate with the probe from the ship?
From the ship.
No, they crash land in the water.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, right.
And you've
got to
swim underneath to open this door.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It looks tiny, right? And these giant whales swim out, and then they start to talk to, they turn their noses down and their tails up, and they start talking to the thing.
Yeah, they would say, don't conquer Earth, they're okay. And they're like, okay, we'll go home, and then they leave. That's inferred.
This movie was terrible.
Oh. Double dumbass on you.
I just...
And Desmond likes bad movies.
Yeah, Desmond, you like it. It's just, you know, it's cute to watch the Star Trek crew going around. It's cool to see old San Francisco and... like in time after time.
Star Trek, just the old Star Treks, I want to like them. I really do.
This one is not a regular Star Trek. This was a timeout. This was like a filler episode.
They're all a little slow. Even a fast paced
2 and 3
original series. There's a lot of
Wrath of Khan. Come on. Ricardo Montalban and his greased up chest. And his awful mullet wig, shouting Kirk's name with such hatred and venom.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think as fun 80s movies, they're interesting to watch. But as a time travel movie, this was a really big letdown.
Yeah, it's just a there and back movie with really weak science on how they travel.
And no considerations for the ramifications.
Yeah, really bad time traveling ethics.
So she jumps, she hijacks a beaming. He's getting beamed back. She jumps in and hugs him.
Yeah.
And then it just works. Like, don't they specifically, like, I'm beaming in this one person. I feel like they would have got through the beam and their bodies would have been fused into one.
Thank you. That was going to be one of my questions. I thought that's what happened. Because, yeah, if you dematerialize, all of those, that information gets jumbled together.
Right. It's a very exact science. My guess is you are kind of dissecting their molecules, breaking it down, putting it through a system and then recreating it. And so if she jumps on there, that would mess some stuff up. You'd have like an arm outside of your head or an eyeball in your elbow.
So this movie was dedicated to the cast, the crew of the space shuttle Challenger. Everybody, moment of silence. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's a good shout out from a futuristic space show to those in pursuit of our future off this planet. You know what? I may have been lulled to sleep by this movie before it even started. I have never in my life witnessed a more boring opening credit.
Oh, I was just saying that to her. It's like, man, the 80s, you could just put just make people sit through 5 minutes of just title on a screen with nothing else.
Nothing floating in the background. Nothing. Not a ship, a cool ship to look at.
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
Oh.
You're not allowed.
How we ever got away with that to begin with.
And in the 50s, they did all the credits at the beginning.
Yeah, a full credit run.
Yeah.
And that's why, and they did, yeah, the movies used to be totally backwards because that's why we call them trailers, because the fucking commercials were at the end and the credits were at the beginning.
Oh.
It was a, we totally flipped that whole thing. Do we, in the previous movies, do we actually meet Kirk's son? Sorry, I'm finally going through my questions that I wrote down while I was.
Yes. He doesn't know about him. He meets him in Wrath of Khan, and then he ends up dying in Search for Spock.
David. And that's his.
He didn't know about him, I think, until like in the movie, I think, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure. I won't swear on that.
Well, Kirk's got 20 kids. He's fucking on.
Oh, he's got kids all over the galaxy. Some he knows about, some he doesn't. Some are aliens, some are humans. Oh, planet. He's the James Bond of the Starfleet.
Bond, James T. Bond. This took the events of this in the future took place on September 21st, 2222.
Really?
For those keeping track. Yeah.
That's when what was supposed to take place.
That's what day they started from.
2322?
That's what.
2222.
2222? But they were in the, they were in the 23rd century. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently early in this film, the writer tried to get talked to a producer who tried to get Eddie Murphy in the film, trying to get more non-Star Trek fans. And he was going to be a professor. And then he didn't like the role and he did Golden Child instead.
That would have been a cool, like, I think it would have made a lot of sense in this one to, I mean, even if they're just kind of like, well, I guess you can't pay big actors to do that. I was going to say just having.
Just think of the silly factor of how much it's so much not a Star Trek film already.
He's the wrong guy. Without Eddie Murphy's not the right guy, but I kind of like the idea of it in a way. Okay, this is the one. Oh, Robin Hood. Who did they call? Oh, yeah. Robin Hood and Friar Tuck. That's what she called. Kirk and Spock.
Also, so Spock goes in the tank, right? And they just get kicked out. Nobody gets arrested. They're just like, hey, you need to leave our institute, which is mild. And then she sees them later in a parking lot. And still, like, picks them up and befriends them. These guys dressed in robes that violated the tank.
She's got a, what does she say? She has a
thing for hard luck cases. And she has no friends and family. There is not one person that she knows that would think it was odd that she disappeared from our time. The landlord, anybody.
She spends all of her time with the dolphins and they come.
You guys had the opportunity to go on a starship into the future. Wouldn't you do it?
This isn't offered like a to it. It's her just like, I'm just jetting now and not seeing anyone that I know here and living in the future.
But if it was so easy to come back, go to the past, couldn't she one day just be like, hey, I feel like going home now. Can you
drop me slingshot back around the sun again?
I mean, I would absolutely do it, but
your wife might be like, what the F? How come he never came home?
Right. Family fucks everything up.
If you had a friend out there.
Well, if I knew I could come back to the moment I left.
Yeah. But she doesn't know that. She's like, and also, if you go several hundred years in the future, it's pretty hard to communicate with the other people there. You're in a whole different understanding of things.
I'd go.
You wouldn't even tell me? You just kind of pick it up?
I would tell you, but I would go.
Would you be concerned? I don't know if we've ever actually talked about this. Would you be concerned about what that would do? Like, you know, if your destiny is in this era and your molecules just go forward 200 years.
What do you mean?
On some like physics level?
What do you mean your destiny? What if you cross the street and got hit by a bus? How's it any different?
That's your destiny.
What if you don't?
It's like I said, just the mere, even if you go, you know, people like there's always time travel stories where people just go observe, like we're not going to touch anything. We're just going to observe. Trust me, nothing will happen. I feel like your mere gravity being in a time where it's not supposed to be, even if you don't step on a butterfly, you don't run into a bird, you don't do anything, just even on a universal level, your tiny dust speck of a body.
Even going forward in time?
Yeah, it doesn't matter forward or backward. your gravity is not supposed to be there.
Your molecules that are not supposed to be there?
I agree with you if you're going in the past, but not if you're going in the future.
Yeah. Would you just assume that that's how it always happened? Just like I was, my molecules were always going to jump forward 200 years, so I'm not going to cause any problems.
If you think like Scott does, yes, because all time is happening all at the same time, and this is what was supposed to happen. But I would not think that. I would not think this is what I was supposed to do, because to me, it's the first time around, and this is what's happening for the first time.
Do you believe in free will, Ari?
I don't know. You've asked me this before, and I think I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe in it, too. We've always had it.
You can't, Scott. You don't.
But you always do the same thing over and over.
No, I do. We've always had free will.
Every single time.
Every single time. We've always had it. We've always made the choices.
Always done the exact same choice.
But nothing has changed why we would make that choice. It's all the same elements that led up to the choice. And
I don't agree with that. You're just mad because I left you for the future.
You didn't even call me. You're just like, oh, I'm not going to be home tonight for dinner. Oh, or ever again. Bye. Give my stuff to Goodwill.
But how cool would that
I gotta
be?
Go be with the whales in a time place where I won't know any of the science or technology or won't be able to relate to anybody.
But Ari could leave for 10 years, come back to the moment she left.
Yeah.
So for you, it was a blink of an eye. And then you guys would be the same age.
I would be 10 years older.
Right.
Yeah. I'm the older one.
I know.
No, she's not the older one. That throws off the balance.
If she left for 10 years.
I know.
And came back to the moment that she left. Then she would come back 10 years older.
I know. And then things don't work out.
Wow.
That's our balance.
I'm not coming back.
I already sold your stuff. I gave the money to the whales.
I'm going to go be with Spock.
I'm going to answer my question with an answer. I would definitely travel through time like this because whether it works or not, I want to go warp 9.99999. Even if I...
Yeah, exactly.
I want to feel that.
Are you itching for a good story? Laughter among friends, maybe even a mystery or two? Well, you're in luck. Fire Breathing Kittens is a standalone Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Each episode is a separate 3-hour long story, like a movie for your ears, so you can listen to these adventures in any order you like. So join us on a real play D&D quest as we solve mysteries, attempt comedic banter, and enjoy friendship. Fire Breathing Kittens podcast. Fantasy, action, mystery, friendship.
Yeah, I'm sorry, everyone out there. I want to do this movie more justice, but there just wasn't. This would have been fucking rad to watch together. Like, I haven't felt that pull as much as I did with this movie.
So we can.
Our next film is going to be it together.
Yes, it is.
So we can make fun of it together?
Yeah, and just.
Oh, I say, screw you.
Yeah, because there was definitely, I mean, this movie is 80s as fuck. And I like movies that, you know, remind me of the 80s just because of how they were made, regardless of what they're about.
This is not the worst time travel film we've seen.
It's not? What's the worst time travel movie we've seen?
Yeah, beat it, Scott.
Probably some, go through the list.
There's too many.
Probably some Netflix-y creation.
No.
Right?
No.
Yes.
No.
There's worser films.
This is worsers. This is the worst one.
No.
It's not that bad. If this is as bad as it gets.
It's a gentle jaunt. It's an 80s jaunt. It's a comedy.
I'm down on the. I have a problem with this movie just because I want to like Star Trek movies in general more. And this just reminded me that I don't give a shit.
But don't take this one. This is not. This is purposefully, this is like a John, they even did, let's do a lighthearted one where there's no villain. That was their whole point of why they made this film. It's a departure, just like Halloween 3 had no Michael Myers in it. And they just had this like TV. It's just a whole departure. That's what this is. This is the Halloween 3 of the Star Trek films.
Okay.
You go.
I'll buy that.
Don't watch the first one though. But that thing's boring as hell. you go do a 2 and 3, maybe 5 and 6. That's it. That's all you gotta worry about. But yes, the next generation ones might be a little more intelligently written.
I don't know.
Next gen is the best.
Yes, you heard it from me. Fine film. Old San Francisco. We've done enough. Now we're ready to move on.
Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm not actually going to go into the future and leave you behind.
Galah.
Thank you. What a long name. You sure had some weird parent. And I'm Scott, not going to get left behind from my lady in the future, Lifton.
Bye-bye now.
I think it was your BP. I don't think it was my BP.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
You've been time popped.